Hello, I'm Rillian.
And this is Glumpuddle.
And we are reading The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
"Row, row," bellowed Caspian. "Pull for all your lives. Is her head right, Drinian? You can say what you like, Rippercheep. There are some things no man can face." "It is, then, my good fortune not to be a man," replied Rippercheep, with a very stiff bow.
For those of you following along at home, if you have both versions of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, you'll want to have them ready.
Yep. And if you don't know what both versions means, this is going to be an education for you.
Which we'll get to. But following this cheering and silliness and one of the funnier scenes, we have one of the scarier scenes.
This is probably possibly my favorite part of the book to read.
It's definitely one of the most intriguing visuals, or lack of visuals, the darkness. Mm-hmm. And Lewis does a really good job of explaining it, of trying to give you a picture, because not a mist.
Right.
And I'll just say that one more time. Not a mist.
Yep.
It's a darkness.
Which is sort of, it really
does
stretch the imagination.
The
you know, it's sort of like, I remember a guy who he was blind in one eye, and he was trying to explain what it was like to be blind. And this person said, what do you think, you know, people who are completely blind, he said, what do you think they see? They said, well, they see darkness. He goes, no, they don't see darkness, they see nothing. He goes, they say, well, they see darkness, that's nothing. Nothing is darkness. He goes, no, nothing is nothing. What do you see out of the back of your head? Darkness?
Nothing.
You see nothing. He said, that's what blind people see all the time. But I sometimes thought about, like, what would it look like as a ship went into the darkness, you know?
Uh-huh.
I almost see it like a void. It's almost hard not to imagine it like a mist. But I have a question for you. What was the first point where you became, as a reader, kind of scared? Like, ooh, this is scary.
Dude, right off the bat. Like, the moment, I mean, the moment Lewis started describing and saying, it's not a mist, it's not land, it's just a darkness. And he describes it as, now Lewis writes, "It is rather hard to describe, but you will see what it was like if you imagine yourself looking into the mouth of a railway tunnel." And then he says that, and I can kind of get a picture of it. And just the fact that it's not land, it's not a mist, it's just a darkness. That is, I find that incredibly intriguing, incredibly creepy. Like, right off the bat, I'm a little scared by it. And I kind of understand why they don't want to go in there. And yet I totally understand, because I'm so caught up in the romance of this honor and adventure. I love how Rippercheep tells them off. And this is certainly one of Rippercheep's memorable moments. And the people that love Rippercheep, which is most of us fans, this is one of the moments they highlight. There are a few people out there that are really annoyed by Rippercheep, and this is one of the moments they circle as, come on, give me a break. What's the point of going in there?
Drinian says, "But what manner of use would it be plowing through that blackness?" "Use," replied Rippercheep. "Use, Captain? If by use you mean filling our bellies or our purses, I confess it will be no use at all. So far as I know, we do not set sail to look for things useful, but to seek honor and adventure. And here is as great an adventure as I ever heard of. And here, if we turn back, no little impeachment of all our honors." And so,
oh, that's just Rippercheep.
It's just pure Rippercheep. And I'm thinking, I mean, that's one of the best moments for Rippercheep. And of course, everyone else is kind of, how do we possibly argue with this? But
right.
I'll tell you when I first became, like, actually, because, you know, as a reader, I'm kind of, oh, okay, Dark Island. Oh, okay, it's scary. I get that. Okay, fine. But the point where I was probably, where is it? Basically, they've spent more time, after they tried to turn back, they spent more time after they find Lord Roop trying to get out than they were trying to get in. And at that point, I thought, oh.
I always wonder, is there just some magic of the island, we call it? I guess it's sort of, even if there's no land, I guess it is an island. Is it just some magic that's making them not be able to get out? Or are they actually going in circles? Or?
Well, no, there is an island. Because Roop was on the island. They just don't ever reach the island.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So somewhere in the middle of this,
because you get the idea
darkness,
that Roop was,
there is land somewhere,
I mean,
guess.
Wouldn't it be in theory that Roop would have possibly been able to, like, if they go in for, what, a few minutes, in theory he could have possibly swam away from it. But you get the idea that he never did. He never could.
I don't know. It's really vague, which is one of the cool things about it, I guess.
Sure. I'm not saying it's really hard to bet, but I think that just the fact that they were trying to get out for longer than they, you know, that at that point I thought, oh, this is bad. this is they do not have a handle on the situation. I remember just thinking that if I were in their shoes, that is the point where I would be absolutely terrified.
Yeah, like I said, I'm terrified the moment I see the darkness. And I love Reaper Chief's attitude towards it, though, where it's, this is awesome.
I mean, what is this?
I've never seen anything like this before.
He says, well, that is my great honor not to be right a there. Man. You know, and he says, no man can withstand that.
Caspian says, you know, there are some things no man can face. And one of Reaper Chief's great lines, it is then my good fortune not to be a man.
Yeah.
And Reaper Chief, I just love that it's worth risking death. I mean, towards the end of the book, he says that just for one glimpse of the world's end, he would give his life. And he just gets so excited by things that seem otherworldly,
exactly,
that he's never experienced before. That is he afraid? Maybe, but he's much more excited than he is afraid.
Exactly.
To make him such a great character.
No, fantastic.
So then they discover Lord Roop. He's on board the Dawn Treader. And they discover they're on the island where dreams come true. Dun, 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 dun.
I see this is, again, I wonder, it's like, you know, I just wonder if Lewis, because a lot of people don't know, Lewis, they called it shell shock back then. Nowadays, they call it PTSD. But Lewis fought in the trenches, lost his best friend in the trenches, lost two other good friends. And, I mean, the four friends went to war, one came back, and that was Jack Lewis. But I wonder sometimes, because he had dreams for years and years. I mean, he would still wake up from nightmares. I just imagine him one day hearing someone say, if only dreams came true, or something like that. And then him maybe giving thanks that his dreams didn't come true.
Right.
You know, I just wonder, or maybe they did. I don't know if they were memories or what, but I just wonder if, like, he heard that comment and then just thought, what a horrible thing it would be if all our dreams came true. You know,
right.
I can say that whatever good dreams I've had wouldn't outweigh whatever nightmares I've had. You know, that's what would be one of the most terrifying things.
So, but it's funny, this raises the question of how much of the Dark Island is actually completely real, and how much of it is a dream.
Yeah, are these actually crawling up the mast, or are they...
I think since there's clearly things that, like, there's something Lucy's saying that Caspian can't see, for example, it implies that they're all just imagining it, so it's more of a psychological torment than anything else. But, and this is probably the best segue into... Mm-hmm. the differences between the two versions. So for those of you that don't know, let me go ahead and give a brief history lesson. Probably not a very brief history lesson, actually. But so basically, there was a little lag time between Lewis originally publishing the series in the UK and then being published in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think it was a few months or a few years. I'm not sure how long the period was. He was publishing them in the United States using a different publisher. So he had to proofread those versions as well. So he basically had to reread his own books again.
Yeah.
And in so doing, found things here and there that he wanted to change, just because, you know, you read your own book again, and like, oh, I want to do this a little differently.
Uh-huh.
Most of these changes are very minor, like he changed Maugrim to Fenris Ulf.
Which for years I didn't know about the difference, and when I finally found that out, I thought, well, that explains why my book is different than that stupid BBC movie.
but most of the changes are very minor. They don't affect the story at all. The silver chair, the Puddleglum's introduction is, the wording of Puddleglum's introduction is a little different and greatly improved, I think. And I'll get to that, when we get to the silver chair scene. But most of the, like, basically all of them, they're very minor, incredibly minor. But anyway, that version, by the way, so they're published in the United States. Lewis made some minor revisions. And then in 1994, HarperCollins took over the publishing, and they switched back to the original British text. So now Lewis's revisions are now out of print. But if you, like Brilliant and I, have...
Yep.
Pre 1994 American editions, you will find some differences. But by far the most significant and the most notable and most discussed change Lewis made is the end of this Dark Island chapter. So basically, there's three main parts to this that are different from version to version. First off, in the original, the three issues are basically what the sense you get about whether or not the Dark Island was real or how much of their experience was real. And then number two, what boon, what request Lord Root makes of Caspian. And then number three, the fate of the Dark Island. Those are the three things that are different depending on which version you read. So in the original version, number one, Lewis says, and all at once, they just escaped the Dark Island, and Lewis writes, and all at once, everyone realized that there was nothing to be afraid of and never had been. And Ryan Elf says, I reckon we made pretty good fools of ourselves. Uh-huh. So you get the sense there was never any actual threat. It was all in their minds. Lewis, he took out that line for the American version. Mm-hmm. Then, in the, then number two, the boon that the request that Lord Root makes of Caspian is different. In the original version, Lord Root says, "Grant me a boon, and it's never to bring me back here." In the revised version, Root says, "Grant me a boon, never to ask me, nor to let any other ask me what I have seen during my years on the Dark Island." So his request is different. Finally, number three, the fate of the Dark Island. In the original version, Roop looks over and the Dark Island has vanished, and he says, "You've destroyed it." And Lucy says, "I don't think it was us." In the revised version, there's no mention of the Dark Island being destroyed. In fact, Lewis added a bit where he added a line that says, "And as they're sailing away, and the hump of darkness grew smaller and smaller astern." So the Dark Island is not destroyed, which means in the original version, the Dark Island was destroyed, and later Lewis changed his mind and decided that he decided he didn't want it to be destroyed. Yeah, that's a little summary of the differences between the two. So, obvious question here: which one do you prefer? Maybe there was parts of one you like.
Yeah, well, I was going to say might not be fair to group all of them.
But just overall, which one do you like and why?
Overall, I like the revised version.
So first off, the first point. In the original version, they say, "Oh, there never was anything to be afraid of."
I imagine we made pretty good fools of ourselves. I didn't like that because I thought, well, it almost made it. It made it kind of hard to believe that he would just take that terror, treat that terror so lightly. Especially with Roop right there. It's like, you are a huge fool of yourself. But no, seriously, I just find it a little bit, I guess, unrealistic. I think it just kind of trivializes what was truly terrifying. I don't think it emphasizes the relief. It just kind of, I think, belittles the terror.
Yeah, that's an objection that a lot of fans have made to the original version, and I totally get that. But me personally, I like, this is the part of the original version that I like, and because that just makes sense to me. I feel like that's part of growing up, is things you experience initially as, oh my gosh, traumatic, eventually you realize, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, yeah, that's growing up in a nutshell. I mean, learning to walk is really hard and this big deal, and later you realize it's just putting one foot in front of the other. I mean, that's just part of growing up, is things are really hard to you initially, and then eventually they're not that big of a deal.
It's kind of like a little child terrified of monsters in the closet.
Yeah, and I can think of so many times in my life too where at the time it was so scary, but now I look back on it and go, that wasn't, like, why was I so afraid? And so to me, I relate to this, and I don't think it's just, oh, there wasn't any threat. I don't focus on that. I
think that's probably I think Lewis was, he probably realized if he was going to get rid of that line, that's why he elaborated on this, the feeling of, oh, it was only a dream. It wasn't really, that experience of the emotion of waking up from a nightmare.
Right, you know? And I do like that bit in the revised version where he talks about, that's a really cool comparison.
Yeah.
But I never had a problem with they all realize there never had been anything to be afraid of.
It might be, in some ways, the one that's easiest for me to like. It doesn't really, it's hard for me to imagine, I don't know, for Roop to say, please don't ever bring me back there. It kind of makes sense if you think about him being psychologically tormented for years and years and years. That might be a question he would ask. Uh-huh.
But it seems a little weird.
I think the second question, or the second request, never ask me, because if he has really woken up, so to speak, from this as everyone else has, I think the second question makes a lot more. The second request,
I think,
makes
it's
a lot
more interesting and more emotional, and compelling. So again, in the original version, Lord Roop says, "Grant me a boon, never to bring me back there." And then in the revised version, he says, "Grant me a boon, never to ask me, nor to let any other ask me what I have seen during my years on the Dark Island." I think the revised version's more interesting.
Yeah. Well, also because if I were Caspian, I would of course have no temptation to bring him back there.
I
would be tempted to at least ask him what he saw.
That might be one of the first things you want to ask him.
Yeah.
Like, what have the past few years been like for you? And tell us
I
the
think
story.
That would. Because that's more natural. Like. You probably would, of course, want to know what I saw, but please don't ever ask me.
Yeah, I think that's much more interesting, and it makes Roop almost an interesting character, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Little we know about him. So yeah, I'm definitely you so far have given two wins to the revised version. I've given one to the original, one to revised. So our third and final one is the fate of the Dark Island. In the original, Lord Roop looks over, the Dark Island's gone, and he says, "Oh, you've destroyed it." And Lucy says, "I don't think it was us." Of course, Aslan, you know, in the form of an albatross, destroyed it.
Yeah.
So what do you prefer? The Dark Island being destroyed or it still being around? And why do you think Lewis changed it?
This one I'm almost... I really like the idea of it being kind of a more real threat. Like kind of alluding to earlier, like it was real, it was... Actually, not just all in their minds.
Well, it could still be real and then get destroyed.
Right. Well, that's why in this one, I'm almost a little, and I don't really care as much about this one. So this one is more of a draw for me.
It's a tie for you.
It is almost a tie because I do like, on one hand, I like the idea of it still remaining behind and being a threat. It gives it a little more sense of, I think, a little more power to the reader. But I don't at all mind. I kind of like the idea of Aslan and the albatross having the power to completely destroy it. So this, I would say probably two wins and a tie for me.
Uh-huh. Okay. So for me, I gave the first point a win for original, the second point a win for revised, the third and final point, all in all, I'm going to give to revised. So I give the revised version as my preferred version of this scene.
And why is
that? I don't quite understand why the Dark Island was destroyed.
Like why didn't
it doesn't
destroy
really
other
seem,
bad things in the story?
I don't know. It just doesn't really seem tied to what they were doing. It's like Aslan decided, you know, while I'm here, I guess I might as well destroy this darkness that's been sitting there for who knows how long. So I don't quite understand for why it was destroyed.
I get that.
And it just seems a little bit thrown in, like yeah, and then Aslan destroyed it. It doesn't really have that that much resonance.
I get that. I mean,
the idea that they see it slowly fading away. Oh, so it's still out there.
If it's going to be a real island, then it does seem more consistent with how Aslan operates in the story to leave it there.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know, think about that. I would say I prefer the revised version. I don't really mind the original. I prefer the revised. I remember being disappointed. I'm gonna have to find the American edition because that's the one I want to read to my kids first, and then I'll say,
right,
as a history lesson, there was this earlier version.
Yeah, every time I come across a pre-1994 American edition, and you know, I find them, you know, like a used copies for like a buck all over the place.
Yeah.
Always pick it up. So I have a whole bunch of like, you know, messed up junky copies of those, and then those are the first copies I ever read were the pre-1994 American.
Same
edition.
Here, and I didn't. It was, boy, I don't know how many. I think I had bought another copy, or my brother had a copy, and I think for some reason I grabbed his, and I thought, wait a second, I think it was the Mogram change that
I noticed.
Definitely,
that was the first time
I went, wait a second,
and had to
And then I remember, I think at some point, I maybe got into an argument with someone on whether the Dark Island was destroyed, and I think we probably both brought out our books, here's the proof!
So... But that's, I guess we could do a whole podcast about HarperCollins choosing to go back to the British text, and was that the best idea? I think that that the changes Lewis made, maybe some of them were made just for American audiences, but I think most of them were made just because he decided it was better.
So,
and I think most of them are improvements.
I think so. I think that I wish that they were at least still available at the very minimum. And I understand them not wanting to have two different editions floating around. But, I mean, I'm aware of authors changing character names, titles of books.
Adding, you know, CGI.
You know, you just...
Having Greedo shoot first.
But, you know, I'm aware of it, like, you know, Tolkien was never happy with the title for the... He wanted the War of the Ring to be the title for the third book. He didn't want the Return of the King. You know, I'm aware of publishers, but this seems to be Lewis's decisions. I don't think I'm not aware of any complaints from the publishers. You know what? We
Lewis's
don't like
decisions. Yeah.
We don't like that you destroyed the island. We want you to. You know, I'm not aware of anything like that that happened. You know, we just hate the name Maugham. It sounds weird. Yeah, so I think that that being what it is, I kind of have to give a certain amount of respect to Lewis's later preference, as opposed to, no, you got it right the first time, you were wrong.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with the original version.
No. The way I put it is, I wish that they were still printing, if not only printing the revised editions, at least making them available. But
yeah, I agree. But I've got a handful of copies of those, and I'm guarding them with my life. But that brings us to the end, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah, so much.
This is the end of the Dark Island chapter, and what's coming up next? The Three Sleepers, another rather creepy moment.
That is...
So if we wanted to continue the
again,
Halloween...
The mystery just keeps... We in some ways...
Things that suggest backstory the moment you look at them.
Exactly, and while we get a lot of answers there, I've always wondered, how did Lurup by himself end up on that island, you know, and so on, but...
Unfortunately, if we're going to go with the revised version, we can't ask him exactly how it happened.
But
just a couple more Don Schroeder episodes, then we'll get to the Silver Chair, and that'll probably be a half.
That'll be
half
that'll
of a book
be
commentary
exciting.
And half imagining. Yep, you know, it as a film happen. And the challenges they're going to have. But so we
that'll
should we should
awesome.
Have. You know, hopefully, we'll have another Don Schroeder episode pretty soon. But maybe some Silver Chair news will happen first. We'll see what happens.
Indeed.